Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and to the guy at Wawa that called me Ron Jeremy the other day, pray you sleep with one eye open. Seriously, Jesus Christ, I'm not that bad looking, am I? And with me, I have...
Boy, oh boy, Coachella really does suck this year, doesn't it? Except for the things that don't suck, but the things that do suck. Oh my God, it's bad.
And...
Okay, why do you have a robot in the office again?
Oh, what? That's the Decibel bot. He, helps keep track of things and stuff. And also makes Smiling Friends references.
It's all over now.
Yep. It's all over now.
I still can't believe we got one last twist with the fucking landlord. And he didn't even want to play Burnout Revenge for the PS2 this time. What the hell? I don't know. Maybe he moved on to real games like Super Monkey Ball on the GameCube.
Yeah.
But, yeah, here we are back after a couple of weeks with episode 429. Did I miss anything interesting?
Not really, unless you look outside, in which everything is still very much terrible and on fire, because, the obvious, everything's still terrible, but other than that, not much happening on the home front. It's been very dull as of late, although I did, venture into something curious. So, I bought a Zune. Now, before you ask why, honestly, I don't really have a good reason. It was just there at this shop for sale, and I figured, oh, why not? If I can make this work, I'll consider that a success. And it does work. It does work pretty well. Had to resort to some reverse-engineered homebrew software to make it, you know, functional. But hey, it works, and I can kind of see why people liked this back in 2007. While at the same time, also understand why this thing completely failed. Because, it does not hold a candle to the iPod for anything. Nice UI, though. I might get some use out of this yet. Because, hey, it works! And, that's about all I have to say. It's been very quiet here for the last little while, except for all the car shit. It's still ongoing. Yikes. We found the culprit for the broken part of my mother's car. Oil cooler, which is a pain in the ass to fix. So, hopefully, it will be fixed soon.
Fingers crossed.
But my God, this whole adventure has been a nightmare that's been going on for almost 4 months. And it all stemmed from the first repair.
It's one of those, huh?
Yeah. It was fixed, then it wasn't, then it was again, then it wasn't. And then it got really bad, and hopefully, once they're done with it, it'll never have the same issue happen again. Please, God, grant me this one wish, while your vassal is arguing with the United States government, because, like, oh God, I hate these fake-ass Protestants so much.
Catholic schism!
Yeah, backstory. My lineage is Italian and Russian, both of whom more hardcore Catholic than I. I'm more casual every once in a while, you know, but we know how to weed out the fakes.
Oh, boy, howdy. Sorry, my roommate came in to lecture me on the history of Catholic schisms.
It's a mess.
Yeah, I bet so. But what do I know? I'm not a religious scholar. The only religion I have is, we'll come back to this later. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Let's see, my things in my head, yeah, let's say there's some things that I don't want to talk about right now because, I don't know, it just still stresses me out, but everything else, I mean, just everything else, well, I've been doing a thing for, well, a thing related to something that we got to, they're going to talk about tonight, but I'd rather not spoil that right now. Although, I will get one thing out of the way. Remember when I said, remember last 2 weeks when I said that we talked about the Mean Digital Circus, about it might be in a movie, it might be in the theaters? Welp! That happened!
Excellent. My roommate actually snagged the last two tickets for the Thursday screening in our area. I am hyped.
Well, I guess I'm looking at tickets around my area. Like, oh, it's mostly miles away, as in another city. And not mine, because, well, why would anybody want to come to this, to this fucked up town? But, well, I guess. Well, yeah, if I don't get it, I guess I'll wait till, you know, until it actually streams on YouTube.
Two weeks. Y'all have 2 weeks after.
Yeah. That's what I meant. I guess I'll wait 2 weeks after. And, well, I'm going to try to make sure I don't get spoiled, or just, you know, I don't know, just make sure. To avoid the crazy side of things around that fandom, which, that happened.
Look, there are two important things here. One, I hope this goes well, mainly for the sake of indie animation, and also because then Gooseworks will probably have fuck you money. And second, I can finally fulfill my dream of pelting Jax with tomatoes on the big screen. No, wait, corn. That's what we're supposed to do. Corn! Anyway, as for me, well, I have the longest tangent, but I will try to be relatively concise. So, obviously, I was on vacation in Boston for Anime Boston. For the love of God, the next time I go traveling, remind me to never do connecting flights. So, here's the thing. The closest airport to our house, which is like 15 minutes away. They only do connecting flights to Boston, apparently. The only other option was to get a direct flight from Fort Lauderdale, which is like an hour away. It's like, do we really want to drive out that far? You know what? Next time, just drive out that far. Because, okay, so we had the stopover. The stopover was in Baltimore. But our plane had to make an emergency landing in Raleigh because a passenger was having a medical emergency. And all we know is that they were doing chest compressions on him. We have no idea if they're okay. I sincerely hope they are. But because of how close it was cutting it, we weren't going to make the connecting flight, me and my roommate. And so, well, thankfully, they managed to get people on the phone to make some arrangements to delay the flights out and everything. But this whole thing, we were supposed to get in, like, around, say, 3 or so. Actually, no way. I think it was supposed to be, like, 2 o'clock or so. We were supposed to land in Boston. We didn't get in Boston until like 9. Oh yeah, did I also mention that our first flight was technically delayed out from 7 in the morning to 11?
Oh.
Well, oh boy.
Yeah, I tell you that as soon as I landed, it was great to see my partner, because I needed that great amount of joy. Getting, you know, chilling out at the bar, having some drinks, pretty decent burger, all things considered as well. And then just 3 days of walking around a convention center and witnessing all kinds of cool cosplays, many hijinks and shenanigans ensued. So, I will try to, again, just a couple of the highlights. So, a little bit of reference. On Friday, I was dressed as the man, the myth, the legend, Marshall Cousseau from Common Side Effects. And at one point, I passed by a booth in the artist alley who tells me, "Oh yeah, I recognize that character. You should go see my friend's booth." And I'm like, okay, I gotta remember this name, Because, you know, if you've ever been to a convention, navigating the artist alley can be a pain in the ass if you don't have it, like, super down memorized. Shit, even then, it's kind of a pain. But then eventually, at some point, I passed by the booth they were referring to. And the noise I made when they had actual, honest to God, Common Side Effects merch at their booth, I was like, I can't stop winning! They specifically had an art print of the main cast and an acrylic standee of Socrates and the funny little hallucinatory mushroom guys. I should probably also point out they had art prints of gorillas and Sleep Token. So basically, this is an artist whose interests are tailor-made to this podcast, pretty much. And a surprising amount of people managed to recognize the cosplay, though I suppose I do need to shout out my other roommate who let me borrow their turtle plushie. His name is Torty, but for the purpose of the trip, he was Socrates. So that was obviously a fun Friday, but of course, the big highlights, the main, you know, the grand attraction of the Friday night, and I was lucky enough to get tickets to, was a live performance by the queen herself, Miss Yoko Kanno, with the rest of Seatbelts, of course. So, while there were some solo piano performances in that concert, as you can imagine, a lot of it did kind of gear towards the Bebop soundtrack. I mean, shit, they opened up with Tank, which is, of course, a great way to open a set list. And then they even had an extended Tank, you know, jam session, because that's fucking incredible. In fact, it's a good thing that apparently Seatbelt's website actually has like a full set list on their site. So if you want to know how the full set went, in order: Tank, Rush, Bad Dog No Biscuits, Ride On Technology, Forever Broke, Cat Blues, Piano Black, Inner Universe, Ave Maria, Space Lion, Go Dark, What Planet Is This, the extended Tank Jam, Blue, and a solo piano rendition of the Real Folk Blues. Have you ever heard a bunch of weebs awkwardly trying to remember how the lyrics of that song go, even when the lyrics are on screen in Japanese?
Ew.
Sounds awkward.
It was, but honestly, it was a fun sort of awkward. I mean, Yoko Kanno seemed to be, like, into it, and goddamn, she still knows how to jam out, like, you know, everyone, I assume they're probably, like, what, in their 60s? They were all, like, just going off, going hard on the saxes, the guitar, the drums, and the actual audio production sounded great. Like, I've heard hearsay here and there that sometimes whoever's doing the audio production for her live performances can have, like, not great sounds, but honestly, whoever was doing the sound mixing at AB was on their A game, so shoutouts to them and, you know, all that. Then, of course, Saturday, I actually had the fun of witnessing my first ever Mike Tool panel, that being The Dubs That Time Forgot, which is where I learned about a great many things, such as the very erratic dubbing history of Detective Conan, and learning about the existence of Boo Boo Cha Cha, a children's series in which a dog is hit by a car, but a child wishes for it to come back as a car dog. You know, this series was created by the writer of Mobile Suit Gundam, the 8th MS team. I just needed people to know that. Also, I do want to point out a funny thing that happened later that night, where there was this one panel I wanted to go to just because I thought the name was really funny. Quote, "There is a Dunkin' Donuts in Silent Hill, and I can prove it." Good lord, the fucking line for that panel. You would swear it was like for a concert or something. So, as you can imagine, I did not get in. But I did make friends with a funny-looking guy dressed in, like, furry ears and a Dunkin' Donuts costume, who just wanted to get into the panel so he could declare lies and slander. Yeah, conventions are, they are very fun, in case you can't tell. But yeah, I just really needed those 3 days, man. And now I'm back to, the grind of life. Kinda sucks. I think I just need to move to Boston or something. Maybe eventually. Maybe in the next couple years. But that is all for everything on my end. Now we have to move on to, of course, the important stuff. The usual weekly business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all that fun jazz. So here's a fun thing to start off on. Apparently in the past week or so, we had a new one-off single courtesy of the Callous Dow Boys. Probably still riding pretty high off of I Don't Want to See You in Heaven being great. So this new single here is called Gigantic Parasite Tongue. They damn well know how to name songs, I tell you what.
Well, damn.
And this one wastes absolutely no time. You know, it fucking hits the gas right away. You get those beefy ass, like, discordant guitar chugs, those very off-kilter angular drums, the gnarly harsh vocals, and of course things getting really weird as soon as things start, with a lot of these weird MIDI keyboard patterns and glitchy electronics. And then of course a really nice melodic passage that has a really great accentuation of violins in there, also name-dropping Salvation Army in the lyrics for some reason. And then, of course, the heavier section comes back with this more soaring aspect, this very soaring anthemic feel, but, of course, closing out on more of that Dillinger-style dissonance. So, yeah, Callous Dowboys, as always, throwing everything, the kitchen sink, the garbage disposal, the bar top, the fucking gochujang, it's everything. It's kind of awesome.
And the violin.
That too.
Yeah. Yeah, this... Right off the bat, this goes immediately hard and in your face, and it's got plenty of twists and turns before its more melodic second act kicks in and punches back into full form with its third act with those Dillinger-esque whammy wheeze. You all know what that sounds like. Also, don't touch the angel. It'll take years off your life with every touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah, this track rips. It's very good.
All right, cool. Now, moving on to the next track here. Apparently, looks like Keanu Reeves and everybody in Dogstar is still going with this whole reunion period set of albums, because we got another one coming out May 29th. This one is titled All In Now, and we have the latest single from the album, Joy. And, you know, maybe it's just me, but this song kind of sounds a lot like... It's trying to be, like, The Cure, you know, mainly in the vocals and, you know, the kind of grungy sort of chorus-laden guitar effects that reverberate across the verses and the bridge to kind of reinforce that overall melodic feel. The drums and everything are in and of themselves pretty standard. The bass groove is, you know, what it is. It's all pretty, you know, reinforcing the rhythm in a very straightforward sort of fashion. And, of course, a lot of very mournful lyrics that, as always, sound like they're about a relationship that just went south fast. It is one of the songs of all time. I think you really have to be in a mood for this sort of thing. It's, I don't know, it's all right, but just not super for me, I suppose.
Pretty good indie rock power trio fare here. Well, it does feel like... Intentionally, they're here to prove that they're more than just the band Keanu Reeves plays bass in. And I could be in for it if they put out more compelling stuff, but this is a good start.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see what the full album is like. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, we're a little bit of a ways out from the upcoming A24 film Mother Mary, starring Anne Hathaway. The soundtrack is coming out this Friday, well, I believe the full film is the week after. So it stands to reason that we have another single here, you know, last one before everything proper comes out, called My Mouth is Lonely for You. This one apparently co-written by FKA Twigs. So, instrumental-wise, we have this pretty bouncy groove to the beat with a lot of tweeting syncopation of these melodic synths and some of these more glistening techno runs. Definitely taking up a lot of the musical space as we kind of get some relatively sparse vocals from Anne Hathaway, who, you know, does acquit herself admirably, you know, occasionally singing about really wanting to make out with, you know, someone that she so very deeply misses. It's a solid enough track, although what we really... I am curious what this all sounds like specifically with the narrative context and everything. Guess we'll have to wait a couple weeks to see.
Yeah, I can see this song gets interesting. I mean, because of the fact that, one day it was filmed by, involved FKA Twigs, and they're like, is there something that she would write? And, that sounds along what they were going for. For the rest of the music roundup, that's all I gotta say about anything.
Oh. Yeah, it's been more hard metal heavy. Can you tell it's been slow the last little while around here? Because it has been.
Yeah,
The balance
is yeah, and
yes, I'm going to TV in Rob's room.
Yeah, it's been kind of slow on that front. And no, we're not going to talk about that album. Don't ask us to. Yeah. Anyway, my take on the Anne Hathaway track, I have no idea how to judge this without the context of the film, but as a synth pop track, it's pretty all right. I will report more on the movie when it comes out, because I may as well.
Yeah, I really need an excuse to get out of the house and go to the theaters more. This might be it. So, anyway, yeah, so the rest of the set list kind of leans towards me and Alex's direction, just heavy shit, starting with this next track here, which is the latest single from the upcoming At the Gates album, The Ghost of a Future Dead, due out April 24th. Once again, this being the major posthumous release after the unfortunate passing of frontman Thomas Lindberg. The track we have here is called The Dissonant Void, and it pretty characteristically fits into the band's modern style overall, mainly in the overall tempo, which has, like, you know, meaty triplet guitar chugging in the riffs, gothic melodic chords and leads, the constant D beating of the drums, you know, kind of bouncing back and forth between D beats and properly writing the groove. And of course, fittingly, a lot of the guitar passages lean very much into sort of a intense downbeat melancholy, which, you know, makes sense given the circumstances and everything. Pretty solid banger, all things considered. Man, this album's gonna hurt, ain't it?
Yeah, and I know I've been a bit harsh in the past on the style of singing with this band, but given the context of this album coming out, I'll lay off it. As for this track, it's very solid and melodic for a pretty quick sprint. It did leave me wanting more. I did not know it was only going to be, like, under 3 minutes long. So, good on you. I'll check out the album when it comes out.
All right, cool. Now, moving on to the next track here. Earlier this year, we had the most recent album for the band Converge, Love Is Not Enough, their first direct solo effort in, like, a decade, not including the Chelsea Wolf collab. But, son of a bitch, we're getting another Converge album this year. Boy, howdy, they must have been really busy in those 10 years. Their second release of the year is titled Hum of Hurt, and it is due out June 5th. Of course, as a lead-off single, we got the title track here, and right away it opens with a very familiar kind of intro, specifically the fact that you get a lot of these snare drum rolls that push this very driving, forceful 3/4 tempo, alongside the tremolo chug of the guitars, the very like stabbing rhythmic punch of the bass and the kick drums, switching into, you know, kind of hard-hitting tom grooves, punctuated by cymbals, blast beats. Eventually, you know, more proper riffs start kicking in. The verses give way to a chorus driven by double kicks and this very kind of somber but still heavy guitar melody laid over top the intense groove. Fitting, given that a lot of the lyrics seem to be mourning, you know, the fact that the narrator, has presumably lived a life very radically different from the type of person they wish to be and are kind of up in their emotions about it. As a sucker for more Converge music, hell yeah, mark me down.
Okay, I know this band has its fans, as shown here, but all I can really say about this track is a very middle-of-the-road, it's alright, I guess. Like, they've just never really clicked with me for whatever reason. I don't know what it is. It's just, I like what I like, and, you know, it is what it is. Now, this band, on the other hand, different story altogether.
Ah, yes. I assume we were waiting for this one. So, Alex, would you like to do the honors?
Sure. So, Horrifery. They've been cooking up some stuff in the background, very, very quietly, not making a big old fuss about it, and I believe it was 2 weeks ago that we got the word, there's a new album coming out. It's not Periphery 6, it is actually called A Pale White Dot, and it's going to be coming out in 1 month, May 15th.
Hmm, nice.
So yeah, quick turnarounds. I like that. Our first track from this album that we've heard, Mr. God, it's also a very It's a very brisk, sub-3-minute track of what I call post-gent goodness, something that I have coined ever since Periphery 4 came out. You can tell they've been experimenting with a lot of different styles, and it's not really what you would consider quote-unquote gent in the prototypical sense. We're now post-gents, like post-metal, except with more low-tuned guitar riffs and shreddy licks. This, however, is just a mean riff machine. I present to you double drop B flat zero tuning on a 30-inch scale baritone 6-string guitar that Misha Mansour had custom made. Proof positive that it's not about the number of strings you have, but how you use them that really counts the most. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know what I mean?
My god, the absolute madman. He's coming up with tunings previously unknown to human minds. Will we finally get drop H flat?
Every album cycle, we inch closer and closer to the brown note, which I believe is, if I ever count my music theory teachings, G flat minus one, which is pretty low. I think that's below the level of human hearing. So yeah, look out for that. Yeah, we continue to roam through the still mostly untapped realm of post-gens. I'm all for this here. The vocals are gnarly, the drums pack a punch, all the guitars are just super low-tuned, boomy in a good way. You can tell this is a masterfully produced and mixed album. It's almost like the guy they hired to do all their mixing and producing knows what he's doing, doesn't it?
So, admittedly, it took me a couple listens to get used to this track, mainly because, like, yes, the chugging and stuff is very heavy and aggro. Once again, the madman and his tunings. But admittedly, at first, it could sound a bit simple rhythmically, like comparison to other Periphery songs. Like, you can click into its rhythm a little bit easier than usual, but it's still got quite a lot going on, even in just like a relatively brisk period of time, with a lot of the electronic synth accentuations, and especially once a lot of the guitar melodies start kicking in. And of course, Matt Halbert's sticking and cymbal patterns are still a bitch to lock into. Not to mention the fact that this isn't a proper numerical album, meaning that it shares more in common, you know, motif-wise with stuff like Juggernaut, Alpha, and Omega. It raises questions. Is this a concept record? Is there hidden meanings? What exactly is a Mr. God? Is that like a Smiling Friends character? Who knows? There are many mysteries in this pale white dot, and I can't wait to try and dissect them. Or just, you know, sit back and enjoy whatever other crazy tunings Misha and company come up with next. Ah, man, it's gotta be fun. But, steering back to our final song for a second, funnily enough, an album that's also releasing on June 5th, and one that I feel like maybe Alex should introduce as well, relatively more his area of expertise than mine, admittedly.
Okay, so, we have a new track and a new album from everybody's favorite 2000s alternative, don't call them new metal outfit, Evanescence. Yes, they're still around. They're still doing some things. There's been, honestly, more lineup changes than I can really recount. It's been kind of busy and a little messy. But I believe these folks are doing what everyone's wanted them to do for a long time. Harken back to their 2000 style of alternative metal, aka the originator of late 2010s and 2020s modern metal, in a more modern sense. Because if you haven't noticed, this band has existed in a weird place for a while. They've been doing strange things. They had the symphonic electronic album. They had their last album, which kind of came and went. I mean, we got the old logo on here. That's a good sign. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is their newer stuff hasn't really hit, but this could be a shifting of the tide for this track, Who Will You Follow? It's more in line with the track Afterlife we heard from them that was tied into the whole Devil May Cry series. It's basically what I just said. 2000s alternative metal in a 2020s modern metal context. You know, it's sweeping, it's melodic. Amy Lee still has fantastic, you know, vocal range. Love to hear that. I'd say this style, if done well, can work out pretty well for a late career renaissance, or at the very least, a good album. I'm crossing my fingers, because, hey, 2 for 2 on quality, as in, you know, cromulence. And for this track, we can thank, on the production side, Jordan Fish? Huh. How about that?
Huh. Man, he really is getting around these days.
He sure is. It's better him than Nick Nick R, that guy.
I will assume that name is bad for reasons.
The last couple things he's done have been kind of middle of the road in terms of the rock and metal scene. He's been producing stuff for... Oh! Perfect example. He produced The Nothing by Korn and Underneath by Code Orange.
Okay, then!
Yes, Nick Raskulinus, Nick R, that guy.
we'll just call him Nick R.
Yeah.
Anyway, as for my thoughts on the song, well, like I said, I let Alex take the lead, because admittingly, my knowledge of Evanescence is very patchwork, as they say. They weren't quite an essential band for me coming up back in the day, so taking this for what it is, I mean, it kind of feels like what I'd expect from, like, Evanescence in the modern era. It's got some meaty, you know, catchy guitar grooves, solidly anthemic chorus, you got pianos frequently coming up in the mix, synthetic electronics as well. I'll admit there were some slight bits of offbeat, you know, counting in the bridge as far as, like, the drum beat and everything, which, you know, was a nice touch. But I guess we'll see how this... kind of impacts their broader reputation in a current year once the album actually drops. That'll about do it for the new song discussion. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have the news. So stay tuned. And we're back. We got two news topics here to discuss. And Alex, I wanted to ask you about this first one, since you're the one that dropped into the chat. What is this mysterious news regarding the Music Act Boards of Canada?
Okay, so my research has led me to an interesting fact about this equally mysterious synth music group. They like to announce new albums in very strange ways. Now, for us, I think we recall back in July of 2013, during the first rebrand of Toonami on Adult Swim, during one of the commercial breaks, there was a very strange video that played that ended up being a promo for Tomorrow's Harvest. A fantastic album, by the way. Very, very, very fantastic. It's not the first time they've done something kind of weird, because apparently back in 2013 for Record Store Day, a very strange vinyl record showed up at it was at a store in New York that included a short clip of music and a distorted voice speaking in a 6-digit code, which was also used to promote. As sort of like a viral marketing campaign, a stealth promo even, Tomorrow's Harvest. Hmm. It would appear they might be doing the same thing again. Some folks ended up receiving a very strange VHS tape from Boards of Canada. It is like a 2-minute long of tape, obviously, of static... warbled audio, warbled visuals. that may or may not be promoting a new album in the very near future, maybe sooner rather than later. We don't know yet. There's been a lot of deciphering from people more in the know than I am with it. But, again, I'm reading the Wikipedia page here. Apparently, Warp Records was asked for comment, and they were, quote, unusually unavailable for comment.
Ooh, unusually.
Hmm.
So, we may be receiving some new Boards of Canada music in the not-too-distant future, and of course, in typical fashion, they're doing it their very own way. Some folks are trying to decipher the spoken words in the tape as some kind of clue. I'm not going to go that far. Just be on the lookout from Warp Records and other folks for like a new album drop or an EP drop or something like that.
Yeah, this sounds like it's taking the concept of analog horror to an interesting place.
It certainly is.
I can respect that. So now moving on from that to our last topic here, which is yet another moment of podcast brand synergy. Decibel Boost, Podcast O&A, how are they intersecting? Well, have you heard of this thing called the Crunchyroll Anime Awards?
I have, and I hate it.
They're kind of dumb.
Yeah.
As in, they are so dumb, they force me to give props to friggin' Reddit for having a far better conceived anime award ceremony every year than a major streaming service. I'm having to compliment Reddit here. That fucking pisses me off. But it is what it is. They still got Sony money, so they're still going to trot out, all of the everything here. You know, you go through, you cast your votes, you get into arguments about Gachi Akuta and the Apothecary Diaries or whatever the hell got nominated. Thankfully, I haven't super delved into the nominees, but at the very least, I'm told there's very little Solo Leveling Season 2, thank fuck. But, of course, there's celebrity endorsements and all. I mean, hell, in the past, they've had, like, Megan Thee Stallion and shit hosting these things. And it looks like the host for the Crunchyroll Anime Awards this year is The Weeknd. Which would explain a lot about what he's been doing on that one Instagram account of his.
Well, not so much a host, a presenter.
He's going to present the award for Anime of the Year. Which was given that, you know, since Megan Stallion did that a couple years back, you think, well, he's going to do it too. And, of course, he just explained, his new anime as in, how much it inspires him, his music, everything. He was like, he mentions how Sailor Moon was his first crushes, Goku's first inspiring partner, one more time by that punk song he can't get out of his head. And of course, he mentioned one influence being Samurai Champloo by Shinya Watanabe. Which he mentioned this article about if it wasn't without Watanabe and Netubies, House Blues wouldn't exist. Funny how you mentioned that name. Funny how you mentioned that name plenty of times, considering, oh wait, the one show he did this year only got nominated for one fucking thing. Visual anime.
Yeah.
And if you wonder why I mentioned that, I'm one of the motherfuckers that be doing the voting shit most of me ever since the thing got started. And I'm fucking biased. So what? That's one show I picked for that visual anime because I don't fuck about the others. Gundam, fuck out of here. Digimon, don't give a fuck. Zenchu, and I'm gonna say this with most malice, the most 7 out of 10 anime I saw. And Moonrise, I don't give a fuck about Moonrise, that show was ass. and yes, I'm mad about it because fuck y'all.
Never trust Tōu Bukata for anything other than being terrible.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way with season 2 of Psychopass.
What? Season 2 of Psychopass? That never happened. There was no Season 2 of Psychopass.
Oh, right. I forgot. It was a fever dream I had, just like Season 2 of The Promised Neverland.
What a story, Mark. I mean, Rob.
Yeah, mostly one thing. I'm glad there ain't no Soul Leveling season two on the under best animated year list. At least the nominees for that are actually decent. I mean,
yeah, I was gonna say. I suppose we shouldn't go too deep into the weeds of this, but at the very least, since the presentation is for anime of the year, I suppose we should mention the nominees. What Crunchyroll nominated for the anime of the year? Your nominees are Dandadan season 2, Gachi Akuda, the final season of My Hero Academia, Takapi's Original Sin, Apothecary Diary season 2, and The Summer Hikaru Died. I will say I have not seen the final season of MHA. I do need to get around to Apothecary Diaries at some point. I'm told I would like that show. If I had to choose of the ones I watched, I'm going with Hikaru. Although Dandadan season 2 is a close second.
Yeah, I saw 5 out of 6. I didn't see The Summer Hikaru Died. I picked Apothecary because that's the one show I like. That should have won last year. Yeah. That should have won last year too. I ain't gonna fuck about Fury either. I mean, that show's fine, and all, but you're like, you see how can work them in this shit? Even though someone shit, even if someone all show that, ain't that not like gonna get picked, so but fuck it. I'll say this. Again, best selection, even though one nominees I thought was kind of overrated, and I'm not gonna say which,
hot take incoming.
Hot take coming. Yeah, I thought that kind of was not that fucking great. Just, I mean, it's cool, but it's like, it's your very basic ass edgy shorting bullshit that everybody will hype up. Yes, yeah.
I don't have any opinions on that. I mean, it seems like the discourse waffles back and forth. I had fun with the show. I'm not sure if I appointment view a season 2, but... Although, out of curiosity, I clicked on Best Anime Song, and I will have a take about this. I'm sorry, you didn't nominate Hunting Soul from Dandadan season 2?
Yeah,
are you high?
It was not there.
And...
I don't know why I'm having an... At a certain point, I feel like I need to cut this off now, just because at a certain point we're going to get sidetracked and risk having several aneurysms.
Yeah.
Listen to my show. We did 35 minutes on it for some reason, because we're stupid.
I want to get one thing out the way. That's it. Just one more thing out the way. I get an eyebrow like Lazarus. I get that shit. And I'm fine with that. But look at Best Action Anime. Y'all fucking suck at this. Y'all could have I would have brought up Soul Level season 2 and put Lazarus in that instead, because like, I'm sorry, the action there is more interesting to watch than just, I don't know, fucking whatever the hell they would do it. That's the thing. I'm gonna fuck with the action on Soul Level one, because it's the most forgettable and memorable. You see.
That I will co-sign.
Anyway.
I'm done.
Anyway, I have a couple things I want to say about this. One, this whole statement feels so meticulously fine-combed to be as casual-friendly as possible from, you know, Mr. Abel, or whoever wrote it for him. And number two, Billboard and Crunchyroll, you forgot the most important part of Abel Tesfaye's anime fandom. He's a Shiro and Saber shipper. Didn't y'all hear House of Balloons? It's in there.
Boy, howdy.
Easiest fucking layup they could have put in there, but nobody did. It's almost like these people didn't even listen to House of Balloons. Shame on you. Do your work.
Okay, I'll go and listen to House of Balloons.
Yeah,
you'll find it in there, and you'll be wonderfully amused by Mr. Abel's fate takes on who is the best couple, which I'm just gonna leave it at the door.
The other person was in this year is also RZA of the Wu-Tang Clan, which. That makes sense.
Yep.
I still got the Afro Samurai Resurrection soundtrack on vinyl, and that's the best part of that whole fuck-ass movie.
Damn.
It was a step down from the series. We can all admit it. It's been 15 years.
You know what? Okay, you know what? Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Man, we're just gonna keep sniping takes tonight. So, okay, again, I feel like I have to put the clamp down now, or else we're gonna go so far off the rails. So, the important thing is, Weekend is presenting for Anime of the Year. He apparently has fate opinions, and we'll just see what happens. I'm gonna hunker down in the bunker when the actual results come out. And then we can reconvene and do this all again next year when they get another music superstar to present Anime of the Year, and Fist of the North Star gets zero nominations because Jesus fucking Christ! Holy
yeah,
shit!
It's bad! It's bad!
I heard things.
They put money into it. 20 bucks and half a ham sandwich.
I'm sorry, Hokuto Shinken?
Yeah.
Fucking MF Doom knows how to pronounce Hokuto Shinken. What is wrong with y'all?
Truly, the finest actor South Africa can afford to be commissioned by Amazon to work on.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Sorry, I was holding on to that joke for several days now, but getting the train back on track.
Yeah.
That covers all the news. And now it is time to delve into one last thing before the sign-off, and that is the new album releases for the week of April 17th, 2026. Starting at the top, from the deathcore band The Last 10 Seconds of Life, we have their new album The Dead Ones. From the band Skindred, we have their new album You Got This. From Necro Goblicon, we have The Boiling Sea EP. This one was apparently teased at Coachella, but apparently Nine Inch Nails and Boys Noize are collaborating on a project called Nine Inch Noize. Of course, we have the Anne Hathaway soundtrack to the Mother Mary film, as we stated before. And last, but probably also least, we have the new Zayn album, Conacall, which sounds like a bad Pokemon name.
Batten down the hatches. I have a bad feeling about this one.
It sounds like an off-brand medicine.
You know, Conacall for constipation. Ask your doctor if Conacall is right for you.
No, I already know it's not right for me. It's coming from Zane. Anyway, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. Alex, you know where to find him. His stuff is in the description. Just look over there. Mark, what about you?
Of course, on Booster, I mentioned Mia, and of course, on my site, myhyperone.com, and since we've been gone for 2 weeks, of course, as you know, it's April, anime season, new shit coming. It's probably wrapped up by now because everything has aired. That's all I'll say. If it was a good show this season, I don't know, watch, which had absolutely, that's a good one.
Yes, it is pretty good. As for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@squareresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow the website on Blue Sky at surrealresolution.bluesky.social. Visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. Of course, be sure to find the link to the Discord chat there as well, so you can discuss all manner of things from food to anime to film. Did you know they make Mountain Dew cream soda now? It's interesting.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a choice of flavor.
They've been doing that shit for a while now.
I only just remember because, like, apparently at Walmart, they actually sell it in, like, cans and bottles now. But that was just a random take. The kind you can find in the server, and, well, as others as well. So, of course, again, thank you for listening. We'll try to be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. At the very least, sometime soon. Like, probably by next week. Well, you should be recording the album roundup as well, because we obviously still need a bit to get our bearings. I was out for a couple weeks. So, yeah, that'll be coming at some point. Tune in next week, you know, keep listening. And until then, I am so fucking exhausted of planes. I am planed out. I'm gonna become a train guy.